Welcome to the Listics AFL podcast, where we analyse AFL list building, free agency, trade and the draft. We're also working to help everyone achieve their best possible mental health, and we'd like to acknowledge our podcast partners, Beyond Blue.
If you're feeling low, anxious, or you need to talk to someone, please contact the team at Beyond Blue. You can call them anytime on 1300 22 46 36, or visit them at the website at www.beyondblue.org.au.
Now, without further ado, I'm John Van Norden.
And I'm Sean Lewis, and it's Listics podcast time.
Hello, Sean.
John, how are you, mate? Nice to be back.
Yeah, nice to see you, mate. Nice to be back. We've had a few disruptions, as everybody knows, and the most recent one is I'm currently in North Queensland. So just before the Melbourne lockdown started, I jumped on a plane. I had a holiday planned up in North Queensland, so was lucky, consider myself very lucky to have gotten away there. But it has made recording even harder, so apologies, Sean. How are you travelling there, mate?
Yeah, look, all going well. Obviously we're in lockdown at the moment, but it's probably been a better lockdown than last time for me. I haven't got a broken leg. it's just been working on the house really for us. So we got back in just before the lockdown started, and just been finishing off a little bits and pieces here and there and keeping ourselves busy with our daughter and enjoying our 2 hours of freedom a day. And just generally working from home, as hopefully most of our listeners are.
Yeah, I know. It's good having the ability to do it, but it's definitely nice also being able to get out, get into the office occasionally and see your colleagues. So for any of the Victorian listeners that we have at the moment, I know you're probably doing it tough, and we'll hopefully get through this. Hopefully the lockdown seems to have at least strangled the spread. We haven't dropped off very many cases yet, but we will start to see it over the next week, I'm sure. So let's just keep applying the same sort of pressure on the virus and we'll get there. How's everything else traveling for you, mate? Mental health wise, how are you feeling?
Yeah. Look, I mean, I'm in a good space, mental health wise. So, it's not too, not too many issues. I think probably just, it's just being conscious and, you know, we're having a bit of a discussion with some of the people at my work this week about just being really conscious of being kind to your colleagues at the moment. We don't understand what everyone's going through. Lockdown means different things to people. And, you know, for me, I kind of take it as a bit of a break. I'm a very social person. So, a lockdown means I kind of get, you know, more time to do stuff around the house and spend time with my family and, you know, not really go out, which is something I do a lot. So, for me, it can be a nice little reset just to, you know, get to spend some time at home, forced as it may be. But, I was just having a chat with a few of my team members this week and, just noticed the strain of lockdown on especially two of them, was really taking a toll, just being isolated and not really able to feel like they're contributing in their work because of, just not being able to be out there and see. We work in construction environment, so, you know, just being able to get out there and see what's happening on sites and what the issues are and how we can help resolve them, and kind of being forced into more of the office-based admin stuff and kind of doing everything via phone calls has, you know, been difficult for some of our team members. So, you know, just yesterday took the chance to kind of reset with them all and we all, you know, we all had a bit of a chat and just saying it's okay to drop off on some things at the moment. We're very busy, but, you know, be kind to ourselves. Let's get through this together. And then when we're out the other side, you know, we'll all sit down and work through it and figure out, because nothing's probably more important than everyone feeling okay at the moment. So.
Where are you going, Johnny? Sorry. Yeah, I totally agree with that. Part of recording in North Queensland is also setting up in weird locations and making sure the laptop is charging so that it doesn't die midway through the pod.
How's your mental health?
Yeah, I mean, mine's pretty good. It took me a little while to switch off. I feel like I'm definitely one of the people that's been blessed and lucky in this situation where part coincidence, part planning to make sure that we were out of Victoria on time and safely up in North Queensland to make sure that we could enjoy. This was a planned holiday, but got away a couple of days early to make sure that the flights and everything wouldn't be cancelled. And I mean, we're lucky enough to be able to be in a position where we can do stuff like that, book last minute flights and cop the hit in terms of flight cost and everything, and a few extra days of accommodation. So we feel very lucky for that. It definitely took me, as I said, a few days to sort of switch off, but now I'm feeling very relaxed and quite balanced and just making sure that I'm thinking about the things that are actually important to me and spending time on those, because it's still the biggest area of my life that I judge myself on and that I can occasionally feel myself feeling like I'm letting me and the people that I care about down if I don't live up to that. So just making sure that I'm keeping that focus is the big thing for me at the moment, and I'm enjoying it. I'm actually feeling pretty good about the podcast as well. I know that we haven't been able to record recently, but the fact that we're able...
That's my bad. I apologize to everyone. Yeah. You know, house renovations and living between a couple of houses, you know, before the lockdown was interesting. So apologies to everyone, but we do have some good content coming. It's list review time.
It's list review time. That's you're bang on what I was going to be saying. Not the stuff about you, but the stuff about being able to start reviewing lists again, which is we've seen enough content in the year now. We've hit the buys and we're starting to see where teams are falling and where the gaps are. And this is why we originally created the podcast, to be able to do these list reviews. So very happy to jump into some of the teams that we missed last year, starting with them. But also they happen to be quite topical teams in the Saints. Happy to get this podcast underway.
It's funny because this is actually the lost podcast, one of the lost podcasts from when we changed platforms and we'd actually done it. And it was quite interesting. You know, we'll jump into it in a second, but it was funny because we were just looking at it and looking at, I guess, what we'd said about St Kilda at the start of the season. And obviously we didn't release that, but... it's interesting because there's a few comments we've put in here, and we'll probably highlight them as we go through, that are really, 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 really important points for the Saints. And there's stuff that, you know, potentially has gone wrong this year that we identified as what they needed to do to be able to get into the finals again, and probably just, you know, touching on it quickly, we said in that preview that they needed to get Marshall and Ryder back on the park. So this was obviously very close to the season we were going to drop this episode. And Marshall was injured, and I think it was just as Ryder was about to leave for personal reasons. And then we said, what can go wrong? More injuries. And unfortunately for them, it looks like that's happened. And then obviously the expectation for the supporters was top eight. We had them sliding into the top eight in our predictions, but obviously what can go wrong this season kind of has for St Kilda. So it'd be good to dive into it in a bit more depth now. So I don't know, do you want to start us off with the list profile?
Yeah, more than happy to. So average age is 25.2, which is the second highest in the AFL, with a median of 24.9. And the average games is 74.7, which is the third most, with a median of 65. So they've obviously got some incredibly experienced players in there, but that's not the norm for the list. The norm is probably around a 22 to 24-year-old. And we know that with the Saints, they've recruited some older players to be able to manage that top-up. And players like, and we can go into it a little bit further in the key changes, but Sean McKernan and James Frawley especially bring in hundreds of games or a lot of age without much of an impact. But Why don't you take us through the breakdown?
Yeah, so just, I guess, something we did in the first two seasons and we probably dropped off last year. I've set up my spreadsheet again to do it automatically, so it's a bit easier now. Just looking at, I guess, the age brackets for the players. So starting at the 30-plus, they've got 5 players over 30 or 11% of their list. 13 players between 26 and 30, which represents about 30%. Majority of their list, as John hinted, is in that 22 to 26 bracket, which is 39%, 17 players. And then they've got 9 players under 22, and that's 20%. But that 9 players also includes the 2 recent mid-season acquisitions. So they're both, I think they're both 19. And we'll talk about them. So we've updated the ages, the demographics of the list profile with those 2 recruits, which has actually resulted in St Kilda lowering their age in games. So going through the depth chart, key position forwards, they have 5. They also have 2 other players at 192. Don't be fooled by Cooper Sharman's mixed height recordings. We had a bit of a bit of fun before the podcast working out whether he fitted into our 193 key forward category. According to 2 sources, he's 193 or 194, and according to another source, he's 192. So we've taken the average and gone with 193, so he's a key forward. They've got 9 general forwards, with 1 of those being a mid forward, 10 midfielders, 5 rucks, 11 general defenders, with 2 defender midfielders. So Hunter Clark is one of those, who I probably see more as a midfielder. And then they've got 6 key defenders. So, I mean, you look at it and you go, there may be a little bit light on pure midfielders. You'd like to probably see that midfielder number up around 12, 13 normally. But that said, I do think they have the depth in the midfielders in the sense of, you know, Hunter Clark, who I do view as a proper mid. He's currently listed as a general defender. So, yeah, it's probably not too bad. Overall, seems balanced-ish, but they're maybe a little bit heavy on rucks. They've got 3 rookie rucks, obviously one they've just taken. They've got 2 project rookie rucks, or Paul Hunter and another guy. So probably taking up 2 list spots too many for the rucks, I think.
Yeah, you know, I'd probably agree with that. I mean, I think that it's just the distribution in the rucks. Like, I never mind clubs having multiple shots on the stumps for projected players, and probably even if they have one less, I'd be thinking maybe you need to start thinking about it. It's just it's a really hard balance. I think as long as some of them are versatile enough that they could play key forward as well, it should be okay.
Yeah. Do you want to take us through the key changes in the offseason? Sure.
So, delistings and outs were Ryan Abbott, Logan Austin, Jack Bell, Dalton Langards, Jonathan Marsh, Jack Mayo, Shane Savage, Matt Parker and Ed Phillips, and Nathan Brown retired. Just on those outs, there are 3 players in there, Ryan Abbott, Jonathan Marsh and Shane Savage, who I was a little bit surprised that were delisted. Not that I think any of them are world beaters, but you saw what happened with the injuries to their key rucks in the offseason. They ended up having to go and recruit a ruckman who had never played with their list. Ryan Abbott had been on the list for a year or two, and probably would have impacted more over the first 5 rounds when they were short on rucks. Jonathan Marsh had proven himself to be a useful player, as sort of like a hybrid forward, and they've effectively swapped him out for another player that they brought in Sean McKernan, as a delisted free agent. Similar type of player, is in a ruck forward that's just a workhorse. So I didn't think they gained much there. In fact, I think they went for an older player who has less upside. And Shane Savage was a good depth player for a long time. So I surprised with that too. They also brought in Brad Crouch as a restricted free agent. James Frawley as a delisted free agent. I think he retired, but to enable him to move easily, he was a DFA. They made a trade. They traded pick 17 and their future second for Jack Higgins, pick 21, which ended up pushing back to 26, being Matt Allison and a future fourth. And they, as I said, they picked up Sean McKernan as a delisted free agent as well. Another trade was Nick Hind and 77 for 67 and 74. That trade has not looked good for them, just based on Nick Hind's form this year. Pick 43 for 54 and a future fourth. That was a live trade, and they used Highmore. They used that pick on Highmore. They then took Max Heath and Cooper Sharman in the mid-season draft. And I think that's like one of the points that I think that is worth mentioning here is that they did a lot of trading St Kilda. But they also, like, Nick Hind almost never played as a defender at St Kilda. He mostly played as a forward. When he was drafted as a defender, when he came out of Essendon's VFL team, and as soon as he slotted into Essendon's defence as a running defender, he's looked pretty fantastic. So it's looked like a missed trick there.
I'd argue Matt Parker was probably an interesting one to me because, I mean, he's not the cleanest of footballers, but if your side, so they obviously made finals last year, they won a final. If your side's trying to compete in that window, Matt Parker is a good depth player to me. I don't know, maybe the money side of it, maybe the salary cap is tightening, but to see Richmond go and pick him up, and he's been playing pretty well at South Fremantle, I believe, as well. So I think he's one of those players who flips between, kind of second tier and AFL and sits on that boundary line. But they're the kind of players that, you know, perfectly support your AFL team. So, you know, they're the guys, you know, your Anthony Miles and those sorts of guys that the Tigers had through all that, those years, you know, 2017, 2019, all that sort of stuff, those just on the fringe players.
Yep.
So to delist a guy, and Shane Savage as well, I think you mentioned that.
Yep.
And then I guess, yeah, you pointed out, you know, to go get, to delist Ryan Abbott and then
go get Paul Hunter.
Paul Hunter, it's a bit of a weird one to me, but.
I think that a lot of that sometimes comes down to, I know that those, he and Mason Wood were both taken in that supplemental selection window. So you could say that they were waiting to see who was, what their list was doing at the time. They didn't know they were going to have injuries. But just when you look at the ins and outs, you look, excluding Brad Crouch, who, look, we all knew Brad Crouch was going to be a good player, and he is a good player. He's a good inside midfielder. But when you look at even just the names that I'd flagged plus Nick Hind, so the people that they traded out, so it's Abbott, Jonathan Marsh, Shane Savage, and Nick Hind versus Sean McKernan, Jack Higgins, James Frawley, Paul Hunter, Mason Wood. I probably think they're about even. Like, as in, like, there's Jack Higgins is maybe a little bit more upside, but Hind has got way more upside than their other defenders. Savage is just as good. I know he's not a key defender, but he's a good running defender. And Ryan Abbott would be a better ruckman than Paul Hunter. I think that after the year that they had prior with so many trades, they probably made too many changes to that area. But we won't dwell on that too much now. Let's power through. So key players now, Roe Marshall, Brad Crouch, Steele, who's been a gun still, Howard and Gresham. And I'd say that a few of those players are still going to be keys going forward. So Marshall, Steele and Howard are both still going to be really critical.
And you could say Gresham will still be, but I think he'll just drop out of their top five.
Yeah, he'll be exactly. In order for them to be the team that they need to be, Clark needs to be one of their best players and King needs to be one of their best players, which is why we've got those in their future.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, that's the thing, like you kind of look at St Kilda and you really get the feeling, and we'll touch on this a bit further down, but you really feel like their list is kind of, it's just kind of caught in between. Like they've probably got enough top end talent to compete, but then, you know, is it a premiership list? And it's probably not. I mean, with Dan Hannanbury maybe, but we can talk about that here. So going through the best 22, look, we'll be honest, we actually probably didn't update this following the start of the season. So apologies if some of these guys are injured, but Wilkie, Howard, Long up in the back line, Caulfield, Carlisle, and we've put Hunter Clark off the halfback flank because that's where they're playing him, even though I think he should be in the midfield. On the wing, so Sinclair, Steele, and Brad Hill, Gresham, King, and Billings across the half forward line. So Gresham's obviously out for the season. Membry, McKernan, and Higgins across the full forward line with Ryder, Crouch, and Hannah's in the middle. Hannah's obviously still battling injury. Geary, Ross, Sinclair, and Kent on the bench with youngsters like Battle, Bytel, and Highmore competing for the spots. They've obviously, so at the start of the season, we'd taken out Zach Jones and Marshall, who were injured. And Hannah's drops out there as well. So you can see, you know, from a best 22 perspective, what, 1, 2, 3, 4 guys are definitely out. So Jones, Marshall, Hannah's, and Gresham. That's, you know, 4 out of your best 22. And you could make the argument that, you know, Marshall, Gresham are probably in your top 5, or at least top 10. And Hannabury probably falls in the top 10. And Jones isn't far off that kind of area as well. So that's a lot of guys out of your best, let's call it 15 players, the guys that don't move in and out of your side if they're fit. And they're gone for them Well, Gresham's season, Hannabury, what are they saying? Hannabury's to be confirmed with another calf. Zach Jones is 4 to 6 and Roe Marshall's another 2 to 4. So, you know, it's a big hit for them out of their best 22. And it also, I guess, highlights probably it shows kind of where their list is actually, because their best 22, we're probably looking at a
final side.
Top six?
Yeah.
Side? Yeah.
That's what we predicted at the start of the year. We'd said expectation has to be top 8. We probably predicted that if they got Ryder and Marshall back on the park, then they could be 6th.
Yeah. So same as last year almost. But then the problem is the depth coming behind that. So if you've got Marshall and you've got Hunter, then that's probably okay. But when you don't have, or you've got Ryder and a key forward like McKernan, that's okay. But when you don't have Ryder or Marshall in that side, that's a too big a hit to their side.
Yep.
And then losing, you know, I think you said it before, they're very inside. So they've got a lot of inside midfielders. And so losing, Dunstan's the one that isn't in here, and he's come back because he was injured at the start of the year. Actually, I just remembered that. But you were saying they were two inside before, and that's the thing. You look at Steele, you got Dunstan, you got Crouch, you got Clark is an inside midfielder when he plays in there. You know, Gresham, Sinclair, Zach Jones, regardless of his foot skills, Zach Jones, these are outside type players. Hill as well.
Yep.
And Gresham is a real clean in and out midfielder. So he's kind of that link between the inside and the outside. And that's really where they miss when they don't have Hannabury and they don't have Gresham. They don't have that player that can link the inside and the outside. So they have all these inside players and they got a few really nice outside players, but they can't get them all to connect. And Jack Steele ends up doing, you know, the Paddy Cripps of 2 years ago and carrying the team on the back. And, you know, they really need a linkage player, and it's really hurting them at the moment, to be honest. So
totally agree.
The issues, good, the bad, the ugly. You want to talk about the good?
Yeah, I mean, they were able to turn around into a final side quite quickly, which is really good. So that was last year. Was a really big tick for them, and it's probably carried on this year, which I'd say that they're getting wins despite poor play. So they haven't looked like the team of last year that were really threatening, but they still have been able to find wins, and they're not out of it yet. So they get on a little run, and probably their percentage at the moment is worth a loss to them. And like one of their wins would contribute negatively to them. So they're going to have to win a lot, but they're not out of the hunt. So there's a couple of sides that have just not been able to get wins on the board but have had a reasonable percentage. So they're in an okay spot. The targeted recruitment has worked when they've gone and gone after a particular player. So Brad Crouch is playing some really good football. I'm still unsure about whether Hill's going to play good football for them. I think he's a really good player. But in general, they've been able to fill list spots. Dougal Howard, another one, someone that they went after aggressively to go and get. But it sort of leads in, and they also had a great coaching choice. So I love Ratten, love what he does. Like the way that he speaks at press conferences, the way that he speaks about the team. And I think that they would be really confident in him going forward as well.
Yeah.
The bad, obviously the recent run of injuries and probably as a combination of the targeted recruitment having worked, there's probably too much recruitment via trade and free agency. And also knowing when the right time is to recruit and when it's not, like as in, I think that they topped up a lot of players thinking that they were going to be finals and they needed experience depth. But I just think that they went for the wrong options or in areas that they didn't necessarily need. I don't think that James Frawley at his current advanced age is any better, not advanced age, but for a footballer. His body wasn't excellent last year. I don't think that he's significantly better than Logan Austin, who was on their list last year, was in terms of impact. And they aged up there. Same thing with McKernan and John Marsh. So I think that in a few areas, they've just gone old, tried to continue with it. And there's only so much that the list can take. There's been a lot of inconsistency now because of the total amount of changes.
Yeah.
And probably they need to settle it down in terms of bringing people in from the outside that aren't draft picks for the next year or so.
Yeah. The one thing that really struck me when I was looking at the list, and this is kind of what we were hinting at before, like there's a final side here, but is the list good enough? That's the question. And then, so I'll just, out of interest, mate, I'll just read you off the top 10 players in age from their list. And you tell me if they're top 10, best 22, or fringe. All right. So we'll start Paddy Ryder.
Top 10.
Yep. Top 10. Yep. James Frawley.
Fringe.
Fringe. Jarryn Geary.
Best 22.
Yep. Sean McKernan.
Fringe.
Dan Hannanbury, when fit.
Best 22.
Jake Carlisle.
Best 22.
Well, Dylan Robertson's retired, so we'll put him to the side.
Fringe.
Paul Hunter.
Fringe.
Seb Ross.
Best 22.
Mason Wood.
Shouldn't be on the list. Fringe.
So we've just gone through their top 10 oldest players, and granted, the next player is Brad Crouch, who would be
best 10.
Best 10. But you know, he's 4 months younger than Mason Wood, so it's not like it's even a line ball decision there. So I guess, like, even just going through, you know, they're kind of top 10 players in age. You kind of sit there and go, you've said there's one top 10, four best 22, the rest are fringe.
Yeah, I know. We always talk about the fact that when you're working with older players in the list, they have to be best 22. They have to be keeping somebody out, keeping them for depth. Maybe you can do it as a final side, but Richmond don't do that. Richmond don't have guys that are 30 sitting out of the side waiting for a game. All of their contributors who are older are playing because they're in their best team.
Yeah, and look, I won't knock the recruitment of McKernan and Frawley because I think they both can contribute when needed. But at the same time, like looking at your – and this is where, you know, list profiling and your recruitment department, in my eyes, earn their money, is really getting a sense of where your list is at and appropriately recruiting. Like McKernan's great depth, but do you need McKernan and Hunter?
Yeah.
James Frawley, yep, tick. But do you need him and Carlisle?
Yeah.
So it's just that to me, it's kind of they've really tried to provide a bit of bulletproofing to certain areas of their ground, you know, in the keys especially. But it maybe's been a bit overzealous. But yeah, and then I guess moving moving through the bad, I think I had lots of similar types, and we spoke about that with the midfielders. So a lot of inside, a lot of very outside, and nothing in between. The ugly for me, and I don't, I'm actually very bullish about St Kilda more recently, but obviously their club debt is something they need to get, they need to keep working on. At the moment, it's still, and COVID hasn't helped them, obviously, but the club debt's still a challenge for them. And I know it's one of their focuses is to pay it down and get it back on track. But and the move to Moorabbin's helped, but it's still, to me, in an era where we're starting to talk about, you know, Tasmania and Northern Territory are throwing their hat in the ring for teams and stuff, and we don't want to see Melbourne teams move. We're happy with how many we've got. And we've done an episode on this, but, you know, financially struggling teams will be in the gun, and I don't think St Kilda want to be that in that gun. So, and then probably the ugliest of ugly is just that some of the injury prone players that they've recruited have remained injury prone. Unlike, you know, some other clubs who, you know, Hawthorn, who recruited O'Meara and have managed to keep him on the park, and as well as Burgoyne, and then you go up to Brisbane and they've managed to get Lincoln McCarthy on the park and this sort of thing. And it looks like they've had Nakia Cockatoo play five games in a row in the twos, you know. So I guess, you know, there's a lot to be said for them, for a good medical team. And I'm not suggesting that St Kilda's isn't, but Dan Hannabury is...
Dan Hannabury, Zach Jones is the other one.
Yeah.
They were recruited Zach Jones going, you know, we're going to make him a full-time midfielder, and he's always had a few hamstring issues, but we'll work through him. And he's just had hamstring issues after hamstring issues. He's looked good when he's been there, but...
That's the same with Hannabury. You watch when they play with Hannabury in the games, like 13 games, I think he's played for them. And so you assume that probably three of them he's gotten injured in. But in the games he plays, Jesus, he looks good. He makes them look really good because he's exactly that link player they're missing.
Yep.
But, you know, you've had 13 games out of three seasons.
Paid a lot to get him as well. So paid a lot to get injury-prone players. Like, I think that last year we probably saw what recruitment of top 10 players should look like, which is pay a bit, go get Brad Crouch, go get a player who's in your best 10 players, and you don't have to pay any picks for him. Go get him as a restricted free agent. But there's been a lot of pain.
People will say that Brad Crouch is an injury-prone player, but, you know, he played, you know, the 2 years before 2020, he played 20 and 22 games. So he obviously missed 2018, so that was one injury player. So he has had an injury history, but he's played 9 of 11 this year. So
it wasn't recruiting him off the back of injuries, which is what happened with Hannabury. Hannabury hadn't played in a couple of years properly and was recruited then.
All right, so we're going to go through off contracts, mate. Cut, and we'll get your axe out again. I don't know if you brought it up on the plane, but you found one in the woods, it looks like.
Yeah, I found an axe.
Dara Joyce, 5 years on the list.
Keep 1 year.
Okay, 1 year. Oop, what have I done?
I don't know. I never know what you've done.
Dean Kent recruited, telling him he's a midfielder and is still playing as a forward.
D-list. I think he's a reasonable player, but it's another one of those recruit and injury prone player. He's a fringe player at best anyway. Just move him on.
Yep.
Dylan Robinson was retired. The next person in line, and he's retired. So won't make a call there. He was a restricted free agent as well, so that should free up some cash, hopefully, for the Saints.
Yep. Jack Billings, 8 years, restricted free agent. This one we can talk about a little bit later, but just if you're in St Kilda, what are you trying to do now?
4 year deal. Me?
4 years, okay. This one was an interesting one. I'm not sure if it's correct, so I'm happy to be corrected via Twitter. Jack Higgins is listed as being off contract. I feel like he would have moved with and signed on for longer. So
if not, give him 3 years. He's been handy enough and he's got enough upside that he's worth a longer term investment, not much money.
Yep. Jack Loney.
D-list. Long enough. Should have been traded 2-3 years ago when Collingwood came knocking.
Yep. Agreed with that one. Jack Sinclair.
Probably re-sign. It's an interesting one because it just depends on what he wants in terms of contract. Because if he wants a bit, then I'd consider trading him. But he's a pretty useful player, so give him 3 years.
Yeah, absolutely. I think 3 years is the right call. I really rate him. So I think he's a type of player that St Kilda really need. Jake Carlisle, obviously, he's a non-restricted free agent. He's not a free agent. He's still contracted. He's been there for 6 years. Was late re-signing last year, so I imagine he's probably in the gun.
Yeah, I mean, I'd give him a year.
Rookie list him?
No, I'd just give him a year main list.
All right. I think they'll delist him, to be honest. So.
Okay.
James Frawley.
Delist.
Yep. If he doesn't retire. Jarryn Geary, 15 years unrestricted free agent.
Just rolling 1 year contracts for him. Just keep him signed as long as he wants to keep playing.
Yep. 15 years. That seems oddly long. Anyway.
He's in his 30s. He was there since 18. That makes sense. 33 now.
Yep. Fair call. Leo Connolly.
1 year.
Luke Dunstan, restricted free agent.
Let him walk if he gets an offer, which would be the preference. If not, 2 year deal. Not much money.
Yeah.
The fact that he's a restricted free agent as well says that they probably need to get their contracting right this time around.
Yes, absolutely. Mason Wood, your favourite.
D-list. Was an unnecessary recruitment. Yep. He's another injury-prone player. Hadn't shown a whole lot in his 7 years at one of the bottom clubs. So
yeah, Oscar Claverino.
Give him another year. Key position defenders take a little bit longer.
Yep. Paddy Ryder.
If he wants another year, he can have another year.
Yeah, absolutely. He plays until he doesn't want to play.
Yep.
Paul Hunter.
D-list. And I haven't rated him in what I've seen.
Yeah, well, he's a rookie, I think.
He's a supplemental pick, so I'm not sure if he's a rookie or a main list.
SSA is rookie.
Are they? Yeah. Okay.
Sam Alabakis, who's a ruck, who's been on for 3 years.
Big boy.
210 centimetres. Yeah, I feel like he must be a Category B.
Yeah, I think he might have been. If you can keep him on the rookie list, I would. Otherwise, I'd extend him out another year.
Yeah, he was a basketball player. There you go.
You guys take longer. Just give him another year.
I think 3 years would mean they'd have to promote him.
That's what I said. So I said, Either if we can delist him and then re-recruit him as a rookie, then do that. Otherwise, recruit him just on the main list for a year.
Okay. Seb Ross, restricted free agent.
Let him walk if he gets a contract offer that would get you a second round pick or higher. Otherwise, match and keep him 2-3 years.
Okay. I'm probably saying I would be trying to trade him personally.
He's an RFA, so he'll walk to whatever destination he wants. If there's an interested party.
Yeah, Sean McKernan.
D-list.
And Zach Jones. Yep.
So, 3 years. Zach Jones is a good player. He's very injury prone. You've got to take that into account with his contract.
Would you put performance on that for it? Like, I guess, yeah, with the injury history?
Heavy performance weighting. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, cool. All right, I like all that, mate. I don't think there's too much disagreement. So trade and draft now. I guess what's missing, we had down, they need more fast, elite, young midfield prospects, and especially that kind of linking player inside, outside, or even just outside and good ball use. They need to get a good developing key position defender. You've seen probably, I mean, more recently, a lot of them have been top draft picks, so they may need to sacrifice a high draft pick to get someone, but they definitely need another to support, what's his name, Dougal Howard. And then the other one was to get a good developing ruck to support Roe Marshall. So obviously with Paddy Ryder about to retire, when I say about to retire,
he's at the end of his career.
Yeah. Everyone knows what I mean there. They need someone to come on behind him, because Roe Marshall has really thrived having a center bounce ruckman with him, allowing him to really dominate with his athletic attributes and roam and just, I think he's awesome around the ground, and he just got spanked in the center. And having Ryder has really highlighted how to play two rucks together. So, and look, to St Kilda's credit, they went out in the mid-season draft. They picked up a kid called Max Heath. from Sandringham, who was overlooked in last year's draft, and I think that's a great pickup. I was shocked he was overlooked, along with another kid called Kalen Lane, who got picked up as well. So those two guys, to see them both picked up is fantastic, and St Kilda's gone and done a good thing. So,
yeah, I think that one of the things with last year, there's a couple of Victorian kids who were overlooked because they were development prospects and people just wanted to see them play. This is one of the upsides of having the under-19s competition going forward, that they those guys can stay not at VFL level and not considered overages either. You just get to play. So really happy to see that. I mean, trade baits, I mean, we've already talked about a few of these. Ross, Dunstan and Billings was the other one that we wanted to talk about a little bit more. Billings is an interesting one because I think that in an ideal world, he's the player that they need, and he becomes really great outside ball user type. He just has never been an excellent player. He'll still be around the top 10, which is, I guess, where it gets hard to re-sign him, is that how much are you going to pay him? And would you get more for him in a trade? I don't know.
Yeah, it's a tough one.
I think that probably you don't want to lose him as a free agent is the only thing out of all of that. if you lose him as a free agent and you get a pick back, you go back to the start again. I think that that's the worst case scenario. I think best case scenario is that someone bids for him, you match the bid, and then you trade player for player and get a player back for him that's about the same age. And that way you don't have to rebuild fully. Otherwise, keep him. That's probably a good middle option.
Yep. Any others?
Yeah, I mean, there's a few other guys that I'd consider moving on. The other guys are mostly middle of the road, though. Loney, who I said should have gone a couple of years ago. Dan McKenzie is another sort of just middle of the road player, fringe at best. And it doesn't really matter if it's him or somebody else in the team. With guys like that, I'm always a little bit harsher on. Ben Long has probably been, I don't know, not too well disciplined for a while. Gets suspended at inopportune times. I'd say that he was unlucky to be suspended in the finals the year before, but he's been way off form this year and hasn't been able to stick to a role. So I think he plays well potentially when the Saints are going well, which is fine. You need players like that. But yeah, if someone wanted to take a chance on him, give you a third round pick, I'd probably consider it. Gresham's probably the other one who just hasn't really worked out the way that the Saints would want. He impacts when he plays, which is a reason you'd want to keep him. But if a contending side right now like Port, Brisbane, West Coast, even Melbourne were wanting to offer him a couple of years and a first-round draft pick back, I'd probably be pretty interested in it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I think it's, I mean, just looking back at Gresham's history, you know, probably the last 2 years have been tough injury-wise. So, you know, he went 2017-22, 2018-22, 2019-19, and then he's played 11 out of 17 last year and three this year, and he's out. So, yeah, and obviously 2019 was the year where he played really well. Yeah, his best means that his best is so valuable to St Kilda. But unfortunately you've got to keep him on the park, especially when you're challenging. So, I don't know. It would be, I mean, we put Gresham in as a bit of a, if you really want to go get another high draft pick, he's how you get it. You have to give up something good to get something good. Yep. And if the list management team was being really aggressive, I personally wouldn't trade him, but we sit here and we try and think a bit outside the box about how can they try and mold this list back into what they need it to be. So,
yeah, I mean, the other thing that you could think with someone like Gresham is that whether if there was somebody that was wanting to come home from one of these clubs, what you could do to get them, like somebody like a McCluggage. Say McCluggage was said, was shopping around coming home and they said, we'll give you pick 7 and Gresham. It's pretty interesting. That's a pretty interesting offer that Brisbane would have to consider. Maybe there would be something else going back Brisbane's way, but that's the kind of thinking that I'd be using with somebody like him. Now, just looking at the draft, I know that they've got a couple of NGA kids as well, but they've kept their first round draft pick, which is currently 7. Their second round draft pick is with Richmond, and they've got their third round draft pick, which is 43. What are their NGA options?
So they've got a guy. Well, they've got actually quite a big list of NGA, but I guess probably the three that have been highlighted, and we're probably shows disorganization. I haven't actually properly looked into any of these kids yet, so I'll come back with a better report later, St Kilda's fans. But the three that have been kind of listed are Angus McLennan, Marcus Windhager Hager, and Jack Paris, who I believe is Nova Paris's son, who was a champion Australian hockey player and runner. Yeah, so they do have apparently got some NGA. And remember, this year's the year where the NGA rules change. So if a first-round bid comes for an NGA player, it can't be matched by the club that's linked.
Yep.
At this stage, I don't think any of the three of those have been linked with a first-round pick. So they're likely to stay linked with St Kilda, which is positive because they don't have a second-round pick. So say, for instance, Jack Paris was, you know, an early to mid-second-round value. They don't have a second round pick, but if there was a bid to come for him, then they could easily match that. So I think that's really, really good for the Saints that they do have some NGA there. So looking at their draft picks, as you said, they got their first round pick, which is pick 7. So
currently, yeah.
Yeah. So I guess looking at it, what are you seeing? And then I'll go with on.
I think exciting mids has got to be what it is. So someone that can get forward and hit the scoreboard or has some pace and dash and some spark, because I think they've got enough working class. And I don't mean working class as a knock, because every club needs them, but they have enough working class inside type mids that can play multiple roles in a sort of dour, consistent type of way. The guys that I'm thinking are more like Rochelle, Campbell Chesser or Josh Sinn, where they're a bit more aggressive with their ball use. They're either high possession, high impact run carry players from the back line, or they're mid forward types where they they can probably start on the half forward line. And there's a lot of players that start their career in that position while they develop their AFL bodies and move into the midfield later. So that's sort of what I would be doing at pick 7. I think there's a couple of options that'll be around for them as well. So I think it's a good general role to be looking for in this year's draft at about that range.
Yeah, look, I think this year's draft seems to have a bit of outside polish. I guess what I was saying before, they really do need a connector. And I'm without having a top kind of few picks to pick up a horn or something, there's not a real lot of really nice blended in and out players this year. So I think definitely going for an outside player like Josh Sinn off the half back line could release Hunter Clark, and then maybe Hunter Clark can go onto the inside and release Jack Steele to play that linkage player, because I think that Jack Steele has the capabilities to do that. So something like that's a really good one. Rochelle would just bring a bit of forward creativity for them. I'd probably look at trying to find that balance for them where can they release, is there a player that they can use to try and create that in and out link that they're missing? And I'd probably see Sinn being better for that. The other thing, and this is what we're talking about before, I believe that, you know, they need to probably get another high-end key position defender. And for me, it might be, at this stage of the year, you don't know if it's a fraction early or whatever, but I really like Rhett Bazo from Western Australia. I think he'd be a nice addition up back with Dougal Howard, and that'd set their spine up for the next 10 years. You know, that's also a consideration for me. As we said, round 2, they don't have a pick, and then round 3, depending on what they do in round 1, if they go for a mid or a key position back, go the opposite way at pick 43 and any subsequent picks, I guess. So.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I think getting somebody with that first pick that has a little bit of forward craft, I think that they've got a couple of players around that forward line that would be able to have some impact in the midfield as well. I don't know whether it's Dan Butler or Jack Higgins, guys like that, who at the start can probably go in and add a little bit of difference into their midfield. And at the moment, they're required forwards. But yeah, I think that's probably the path. And in terms of what they do going forward, I reckon that the summary from the delistings is just get rid of the junk depth. Probably a misstep. And I mean, it's been only shown as a misstep because there's been injuries. That's been exposed. But I think that their depth last year was better than their depth this year. And they, because they aged it up, there would be a benefit to having Marsh in the side for the next 5 years. If you kept him, just let him continue to develop into a depth player that's playing that role while you're playing finals and knows your system and all that sort of stuff. They've had to reteach their system to a whole lot of new players. And I think probably my other thing I would say is just wait another season before you pivot on the strategy of with the new high-end recruits, like your Crouches, your Hills. Don't say it hasn't worked. Get them all fit, get them on the park, get rid of the junk depth, support it with some draft picks and some newer players that can add something. You've got a couple of third-year players, second-year players that are coming along too, and see where the list is at middle of next year before you start making pivots from the current strategy. But did you have any final words?
Yeah, look, I 100% agree with you right there. I don't think the list is in a terrible shape. There's a best 22 there that's a final side, and we just need to fix up the depth and get the proper support through. So that really, and look, it's, you know, they've tried to address it, and as we've said, it's kind of been exposed, and it's probably been exposed by losing, you know, four of your top 10 players effectively, or top 15 or whatever you want to call it, that just kills any side. I think every side would struggle with that, but it's really exposed them. And to be honest, at the moment, they're scoring like a bottom 14. And a lot of that comes through the midfield because they just can't. Watching them, I get frustrated because they just struggle to link up. And you're like the team last year that was, you know, dynamic and move the ball and, you know, running and overlapping. It's just gone. It's a frustrating thing. So they need to get it back. I think you're 100% right. Just get some high-end talent in this year. Plug your holes with, you know, 19-year-old developing players. Let them learn your systems and just go for it. A guy like Josh Sinn, I absolutely love Josh Sinn. He's one of my favorite players this year. And, you know, he would be dynamite for them. I think
the only other thing I would say from my final words, and it's something we haven't touched on, would be the only other type of player that I would consider getting in one of these trades is a player that they could have got last preseason, like Ben Brown. They're probably a key position forward to support Max King short. And if it was Ben Brown, King and Membry, it's a completely different looking forward line to King, Membry and McKernan. Yep. So I think that they, if an option like that comes up with a Gresham, with a Billings type of player to be able to make a swap for a late 20s key forward, that is a good upside, I would make the switch.
You mean like Josh Bruce?
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking someone better than Josh Bruce, but given the list position, say West Coast drop off this year, I would be targeting Jack Darling, I'd be targeting
Jared Brander.
Well, no, I'm thinking higher upside. I'm thinking someone that's going to take the pressure off King. But I don't know who that player is going to be or whether they'll be available this year. But I would be thinking about that long and hard. Maybe Rory Lobb. A player like that can play the long term Paddy Ryder relief and a key forward.
What about Darcy Fogarty?
Yeah, possibly. But again, that requires them to step up. I reckon that you would just pay the piper and go for that person that's already at that level. Anyway, I've got to run. Being in North Queensland, I've got lunches planned and don't want to make you jealous, but I've got to go out and do some stuff. So I'm going to love you and leave you. And thanks again for listening, everyone. It's great to be back. And we look forward to pumping out some more of these, hopefully in our one a week routine over the next, the rest of the season.
Yep, sounds good. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Great to be back. And thank you, John. Enjoy your lunch and enjoy the remainder of your holiday. And I'll see you back in lockdown soon.
Look forward to being, we'll be out of lockdown soon, I'm hopeful. Look forward to seeing you out of lockdown soon. See you, mate.
See ya.
If you constantly worry that the worst is going to happen, you're not alone. 1 in 4 Australians will experience anxiety. Know when anxiety's talking. Visit Beyond Blue to start a life beyond anxiety.